what God has done in 1 minute.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Double portion. Yesterday, as we went out in obedience of the instruction for us to go out for, so my names are Favor, Uche, Oji. Hallelujah. So as we went out yesterday obeying the instruction, we were asked to go to Goshen Village. I and my partner, the first compound we entered, we met two girls that we were actually there for. But God, in His infinite mercy, who has arranged yesterday for that old woman, the woman was brought from the village, and we were told she has never been speaking because since she was brought by the daughter to this place. Hallelujah. And by the grace of God, as we ministered to her in tongues, we were speaking in tongues as we were directed before we left, because Holy Ghost is the doer. All of a sudden, the woman shouted amen, and we said hallelujah. She shouted hallelujah. We said praise the Lord, and she started dancing. And I asked them, please, how long? They said she has not been speaking. And who has done this for me? If not my sister, according to the word I've been hearing in Winner's Chapel, that where you go, who you move with, is the one that is responsible for this testimony. And
so, hallelujah to God alone be all the glory. A deaf woman yesterday, as they ministered to her, she began to hear.
Praise the Lord. My name is Sister Margaret Ebadeku. I've come to return all the glory to God concerning the prayer rich card. When they gave us the prayer rich card, the number one on my list was a Muslim. I've been inviting him to church all this while, but he has not been responding. So 3 weeks ago, I called him and asked him, where are you? He said he's in church. I was like, you are in church? Which church? I dropped the call. I now called after 10 minutes. Where are you? He said he's in church. I wanted to confirm. I now asked him, where are you? He said he's in church at Lube. I said, which church? He said, Christ Embassy. I said, no problem. I gave him 2 days and I invited him to my house. So he came to my house. The first thing he demanded was Bible. So I gave him Bible. He was reading the Bible. I was laughing. So when Bishop said we should invite somebody to church today, I was like, who will I invite? Okay, if this guy has really given his life to Christ, let me see it. So I now called him on Friday. I'm told him that I'm inviting you to Living Faith Church, that today is Covenant Day of Vengeance. Whatever that is remaining in your life, God is going to do it. To God be the glory. Before I could dress for my house, he said, which service will I attend? I told him, anyone. He said no, that he wants to attend first service. I said okay. Before I could leave my house from Maraba, he has already left Lugbe. He was at the junction. So we came to church together. I have come to return all the glory to God because he's the doer of this testimony.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. My name is Dikin Yanko. I am privileged to serve in the ushering unit. Hallelujah. I come here this morning to testify to the faithfulness of God. 2 Sundays ago, a sister stood on this altar and shared the testimony of how God gave her a miracle child after 16 years. And then last Sunday, another sister came up and said she had that testimony and keyed onto it. On Tuesday, she got her miracle job. I say, ha, this is something new. I keyed onto those two testimonies as if I don't do so, I won't get anything. As Pastor Bangoe was teaching, a word came to me, what is that thing that you crave for? I say, I crave for a car. Now, I trekked from my house in Masaka in 2011 to come to church one day because I didn't have no money. But today, my story has changed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! When I got to office on Monday, I told my colleagues, will you be surprised if I come to the office with a car this week? One of them said, I won't be surprised. The other said, I would rather be surprised if you don't come with it. And then, on Tuesday evening, my wife called that there is a car for sale. I said, I need it. On Wednesday, they brought the car to my office. I checked it. I said, I like it. Now, on Wednesday evening, I called the owner that maybe I won't be able to pay the money because of some things that I'm facing. But I told him that Even if he takes it to another person to buy, the buyer will come back to me to buy it. That's what I told him. And to cut the long story short, we were to go to pick the car yesterday morning after the outreach. But my colleague that we were supposed to go together, as I was entering the house, I saw him shaking his head. He said, the car has gone. I say, all things work together for good to them that love God. I had a meeting. By 3 p.m., I got a call that I should come and pick the car. And by the time I get to the man, he said, when a deacon starts talking that it is my car, I must take it, then you should be afraid. And he gave me the car. I paid the money. I come here to give glory to God.
Hallelujah. You are picking your own testimony this morning in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. My name is Larry Yamai. I happen to work for a company that does work for the U.S. government for like 12 years. They've been posting me from one country to the other. But 2012, I was posted to Afghanistan. I declined because I needed to take time with my family. And I was written back that anybody that refused to go for a posting will be declared a war, that I will no longer work for the government, for the company. So April, I came here, and the bishop said, that place that you've been rejected, go back, it will be accepted. 2 days after, the vice president of the company herself called me and said, a team of 17 Americans will be coming to Nigeria. I need to join them. So I joined them, and we did 2 months training in peacekeeping, Nigerian Peacekeeping Center in Jaji. And not just that, I was given an award for an exemplary instructorship. And after that, my salary was tripled. And the next thing I learned, I was posted to Togo. I've come to declare the glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah. God is surprising you this morning.
Praise the Lord. My name is Marcel Okebu. I'm privileged to serve in CCU and in Sanctuary. Praise the Lord. It happens late last 2 months while in the office. A colleague of mine was complaining of being diseased, frustrated and confused. I told him I have a better source. He accepted. I put a call across to my source. When we came down here, we met our pastor. The pastor prayed instantly. My colleague received his healing. Till today, no complaint. And I told my pastor, I said, Papa, I want the way I eat food. I want to be eating the things of God that way. He held my hand and said, my son, go and do the way I do. Brethren, I went back home. My district has been turned around. Home cells has been planted. The one that struck me most was that a lady that was pregnant, after ministering to her, inviting her for home cell. Last Saturday, not yesterday, the last one, she came at the interactive section. She told us that her doctors have given her 3 weeks has passed for her delivery. No way. I said, okay, you have been in the right place because my covenant father is living with us. I told her that this week is going to be your week. We prayed and caused every spirit of prolonged labor. Just on Wednesday, while I was about preparing to bring my son from Goshen, they came and called me that she's in labor.
Hallelujah. Just on Wednesday, she delivered in the name of Jesus. Today is your own day. I said, today is your own day. Lift up your hands and appreciate this God. If he did it for them, today is your turn. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh God, oh open time. Hey, show yourself today. Oh God, open time. Your children are here today. Fight for what we pray. Hold not your peace. Lord, hold not your peace today. Come and fight for us today. Fight all our battles today. We saw all the devil has stolen from us. Lord, we are here today to restore. All the enemies have stolen. Hold not your peace. Come and fight for all. of our enemies. Every of our enemies. Father, judge all our enemies today. Judge all our enemies. Hallelujah. His name is the same on the center.
Take it by force. are glad you are in church this morning, raise your hand and shout hallelujah. This is your own day. Shall we lift up our hands and rejoice in God for bringing us this morning into His presence? He brought us to bless us. He brought us to do us good. He brought us to change our stories. Exalt His name, everyone. Rejoice in Him. He is your God. He is your King. Jehovah is His name. Thank you for your blessing. We give you glory and praise. We honor your majesty. You are our God, our King, our Savior, our Lord, our ruler, our governor. We praise you, Lord. Amen. The name of Jesus Christ. Shout hallelujah. Please bring out your prayer banquet where you have listed your request for the month of June 2013. The God who answers prayer has come into our midst. None of your request shall be turned back to you. Every one of your heart's desires shall be turned into a living testimony. And Hannah poured out her heart to the Lord, and suddenly there was an answer for her. As you pour out your soul before the Lord this morning, there shall be a quick answer for you. She was there even though in an assembly, but she prayed as a person to God. I want you to forget who is next to you. Lose the consciousness of who is around you and face your God. Now lift up your card if you have one. If you don't have one, just lift up your heart before the Lord and speak to Him desperately concerning the needs of your heart. Receive your answer. You are not trying to talk to God. You are talking to Him with clear expectation to receive an answer from Him. Speak to Him now. He's hearing your voice. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. Take what belongs to you right now. Receive answers to your request right now. Take it, take it, take it, take it. Enough of affliction, enough of suffering, enough of pain, enough of oppression, enough of deprivation, enough of failure, enough of poverty, enough of being downgraded, enough. It's my turn. It's my time. Lore biada kaka babala barababa. Turn to God in prayer. Turn to Him in prayer. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. It is your turn. It is your turn for a turnaround. It is your turn for a turnaround. It is your turn for a total turnaround. It is your turn for a total turnaround. It is your turn. Thank you, mighty Father. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' precious name. When you turn to God in prayer, it becomes your turn for a turnaround. Today, as you have turned to the Lord, I declare that it is your turn for a turnaround. It became Hannah's turn when she turned to God. It became the turn of Jabez for a turnaround when he turned to God. Jacob's turnaround became a reality when he turned to God in prayer. Now that you have turned to God in prayer, I decree that it becomes your turn for a turnaround. Every request listed here has become a testimony to you. I pray over your request right now as a privileged priest in the house, and I declare speedy answers for you in the name of Jesus. God who answers me speedily answers you without further delay. You are blessed. Wave those cards in your hand with thanksgiving. Thank him and thank him and thank him for it. Blessed be God forevermore. In Jesus' precious name. Show up, the enemy will be shut down. Show up today. Shut down my enemies. Silence my oppressors. Speak to him right now. Pray desperately for your deliverance, for your freedom. Take what belongs to you right now. Don't keep quiet. Lorea Bosokote Namanda Azarara Barado Abada Ikekere Munondulu Bada. O God of vengeance, sharp, sharp, sharp. Lore galara la barando secretary baba. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I stand before this holy assembly this morning, and I declare that whatever will not let you go, go for you. Whatever won't let you rest, be laid to rest forever. Whatsoever won't let you live, die for your sake. Whatsoever won't let you go forward, permanently go backward in the name of Jesus. Whatever won't let you rise, go down to the grave in your mirror. As a shepherd, I decree your rescue from the mouth of lions. I tear into pieces every wolf that is feasting on you in the name of Jesus. This day is declared a day of vengeance of the Lord. None of your adversaries shall escape in the name of Jesus. You believe in that prayer, raise your voice and thank God in the Holy Ghost right now. Thank God in the Holy Ghost. Thank God. Raise your voice with confidence. Thank God. It is your season. It is your time. It's your season. It is your time. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Give God a big shout. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, I want you to do that shouting with understanding. Listen. Someday, some great forces stood against Judah, and there was no hope. And the Lord commanded that they shout, and as they shouted, their enemies were torn into pieces. Now, I'd like the studio to help me put 2 Chronicles chapter 13 on the screen. I'll just read, and then I will command you to shout. All barriers around your life must be pulled down. All who are camping around you for your oppression shall be scattered this week. Verse 13 beginning. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. There was no escape. And verse 14. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priest sounded with the trumpet. Verse 15. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and Israel before Ahijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. And Ahijah and all his people was slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 5,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Israel prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. They gave a shout. Alright, to right now, we are going to give a long shout for minimum 1 minute. I want all the instruments to be high. All who camp against you and think there is no hope for you, wherever they are. Victory. All of you who have so shouted because you believe the word, he said, they shouted because they relied on their God. They believed instruction. Everyone who has so believed this instruction, you will hear news of devastation in the camp of the enemy. This week, you will hear news of devastation in their camps. Give God a big hand and take your seat. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. You are blessed. Glad to bring good news and greetings to you from your brethren in a number of our churches in America. Where my wife and I had the privilege to visit last week, for which reason we are not with you last Sunday in the church. Your brethren out there are doing great, powerful, impactful, and truly winning, as our culture is. The pastor will send you their greetings, and here you have it. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Give Jesus a big hand, everybody. I believe that this morning, God is going to bring judgment upon your enemies. This service is our covenant day of vengeance. And our teaching this morning is engaging divine vengeance for your supernatural turnaround. Engaging divine judgment, divine vengeance for your supernatural turnaround. And I'd like to begin by letting you know this morning that God is the custodian of vengeance. One of the attributes of God is that He is the God of vengeance. He is the God of vengeance. Psalm 94 verse 1. We see that clearly. David praying, O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth. To whom vengeance belongeth. It is His property. And for emphasis, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. This morning, God will show up Himself. I want you to be declaring a very clear, expectant prayer. I mean, of an amen. It says, show thyself. If God does not show up, the enemy will not clear off. Satan will remain in charge until God appears to take charge. Wherever Satan has been manifesting over your life, today he will be thoroughly and totally discharged from your life. The gospel is not all through the gospel of blessing. It's also the gospel of curses, the gospel of vengeance. For Samuel chapter 2 verse 6, God said, I am the Lord, I killeth and maketh alive. The Lord killeth. What does God do? Oh, you are pretending to be very holy right now. This is the word of God, not the word of man. The Lord does what? Yes. More people are catching it right now. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Every one of you whose destiny is in the grave, God will bring you out today. Everyone who puts you in the grave, God will make them replace you today. You see, many people try to behave holier than God. God said, this is one of my primary duties to you. I am here for you to put in the grave all who pushed you into the grave and to bring you out of the grave. Today, my God will bring your destiny out of the grave. A number of you have too many forces of darkness sitting upon your destiny. And you are watching. You are watching. You are negotiating, you are begging, yet they refuse to leave you alone. For your information, God did not call you to negotiate, He called you to dominate. When He created man, He gave him a charge. He said, have dominion. He didn't say make negotiation. Therefore, any devil that is contending with your destiny, I decree that they be all brought underneath your feet today in the name of Jesus. He said, have dominion over the fish, dominion over the animals, dominion in the air, dominion on the ground, dominion under the sea, dominion upon all creatures. God said, have dominion. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27 and 28, he said, have dominion. And God blessed them. And he said to the man, have dominion, have dominion. What do you have from God? I want to hear you say it consciously. God, the Lord, killeth and maketh alive. He casted one down to the grave and raised up the other. Shout hallelujah. It will interest you to know also from scriptures that God is always eager to avenge for his elect. For the benefit of doubt, 1 Samuel 2:6 is a clear interpretation of the word vengeance. That is changing the oppressor to the oppressed and changing the oppressed to become the oppressor. That's vengeance. Placing right judgment on individuals in the favor of his own children. He's always eager to avenge for his elect. In Luke chapter 18, verse 8, he said, and with God, he said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. From verse 7, he said, will God not avenge the saints who pray unto him, who cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? He said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily, not slowly, speedily. Today, your own vengeance against your enemies will come very speedily. If you want it speedily, shout the loudest, amen. This week, you will hear news of destructions over your adversaries. You'll be glad to know also that vengeance is God's end time agenda. Because wickedness will multiply, vengeance also has to multiply. The world is not as kind as it used to be again. People are attacking you physically, diabolically, with their pen in their offices, stopping you, hindering you. Vengeance must multiply because wickedness is multiplying. And so, it's an end time agenda. It is an end time agenda. In Isaiah chapter 61, verses 2 and 3, you hear God talking about the day of his vengeance. To proclaim acceptable the year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, in order to comfort all that mourn. And Jesus came and he emphasized a part of it. And when the apostles came, they built on the later part of it, bringing about vengeance upon all the adversaries. Today, none of your adversaries will be spared in the name of Jesus. So you can see that scriptures recognizes the day of vengeance. The day of vengeance. From that scriptures again in Isaiah chapter 61 verse 2, it talks about the day of vengeance of our God. It is God who appointed that day, and I'm glad to let you know that today is one of such days of vengeance. The day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. And then also in Isaiah chapter 63 verse 4, it emphasized also the day of vengeance. Isaiah 63 verse 4, for the day of vengeance is in my heart. God is keeping it in his heart. He's harboring the day when you will be free, when he will judge your enemies. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Can you see? Vengeance, redeem. Vengeance, redeem. Without vengeance, there cannot be redemption. You have been waiting for your freedom. If you don't engage the force of vengeance to go ahead, your freedom will not come. Shout hallelujah. For those who may still be wondering that does God have the nature of vengeance? Does God curse people? Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. After God spoke to Abraham about his calling, he said, "And I will bless them that bless thee. And because I know there are a few people who may not like you, I will curse him that curseth thee. So that in you shall all the families of the heart be blessed." Not everybody likes your blessing. As a matter of fact, blessing will always attract envy. So there are individuals who will not like you, who will hate you, who, as a matter of fact, will curse you. They will take your name to charm makers. They will make incantations against you. But God said, "Don't you worry. If you allow me, I will curse him that curseth you." Say with me, "Do it, Lord." Give God permission. Tell him, "Do it, Lord." So you see, everywhere there is blessing, there's also cursing. So it is not only God of blessing, he also curses. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Vengeance is God's nature. He says, "Sin, it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you." To recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It is a manifestation of his righteousness. It is a right thing with God to recompense tribulation for them that trouble you. All your troublers shall be recompensed with tribulation. This is the other side of the gospel. It is not all gentle, it is also violent. He said, "I send you forth as dove, as sheep among wolves. But be as wise as serpent, as serpent, as serpent. Go as sheep, but also go as a serpent. So that anyone who wants to hurt you, you strike." Today we are striking at the enemy. I said, today we are striking at the enemies. We don't look for trouble, but anyone looking for our trouble, we get what? Say with me, tribulation. We don't look for trouble. It is the gospel of peace, but anyone looking for our trouble, we give him tribulation. Tribulation is senior brother of trouble. Amen. Our God, the Father, curses. And I am the Lord, I change it not. What he did before, he's still doing now. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It will interest us to also know that Jesus, the Son, curses. Jesus curses. In Mark chapter 11, verses 13 and 14, he saw a fig tree that ought to bring fruit, and there was no fruit found in it. And Jesus cursed the fig tree and said, "From today, no one eats from you again." And in verse 20, the following day they were passing by, and Peter said, "Master, the fig tree which thou cursed yesterday has dried up." They saw the fig tree dried up, and Peter said, "Master, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away." The fig tree which thou cursed. So Jesus actually cursed the fig tree. And listen to this. If you read from Matthew chapter 23, beginning from verse 13 to 29, there are 9 different times that Jesus declared, "Woe unto you! Woe unto you!" And woe is a language of curse. "Woe unto you, scribe! Woe unto you, Pharisees! Woe unto you, hypocrites!" So Jesus was engaged also in cursing people of his time. And Jesus cried the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's still cursing till today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. What more? The Holy Spirit also curses. We saw that manifested twice through Peter. When in chapter 5 of Acts of Apostles, Ananias and Sapphira lied. And Peter said, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit stood up and slayed Ananias. Acts chapter 5 from verses 3 to 10. And when the wife came, she also lied. And the Holy Ghost, phew. And then in the day of Paul the Apostle, when he went about preaching, as he was led by the Holy Ghost in chapter 13 of Acts of the Apostle, he came to a place where a man stood against him. And from verses 9 to 11, and Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost, being moved by the Holy Ghost, verse 8, he lifted up his voice and he declared that Elymas, the sorcerer, be blinded, not seeing for a season. Shout hallelujah. And there he was blinded. Any devil that won't let you see your way through will end up with blindness. Paul the Apostle, anointed of God, was not only blessing people, but he was also cursing. He spoke specifically of one man called, Alexander the coppersmith. He said, Alexander the coppersmith has done me evil. He said, may the Lord reward him according to his work. So you have to understand this other side of the gospel. Why, for instance, should a witch survive in a church? Killing your children? Should I watch that? Kill him. Kill him. He said, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Kill him. You kill him or he kills your children. Why should somebody be allowed to sit over your marital destiny that you will not be married? Let the person quickly die. Why should someone be there will not allow you to be pregnant? Every 6 weeks after your pregnancy, the baby comes down. Why should the person be alive? For you to be weeping? For you to be crying? For you to be suffering? Let the grave quickly open and swallow up that person. Why should you have labored and someone will not allow you to eat the fruit of your labor? At your young age, somebody is trying to take your life or take the life of your family members. Nobody in your family passes the age of 50 and you are watching. Let all who are responsible for it go down the grave immediately. So many young graduates in your family, nobody has secured a meaningful job. Nobody has ever ridden a car in your family. And you are watching and you are smiling and you are saying, God, please forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. Hallelujah. That prayer was prayed only once by Christ. They know what they are doing. Of what use is a sinner and a wicked person to be alive than you to be alive? You are alive. You are helping the poor. You are taking care of the naked. You are taking care of widows. You are doing all these things. And God should kill you? Or rather, God should allow a witch to kill you? No! Who will be doing the works you are doing? You have done some jobs and they are refusing to pay you. And you are going from office to office. 3 years is passed. You are owing everywhere because they have not paid you, not because you are a professional, of money. And you are watching. Send migraine to them. Wherever they are holding down what belongs to you, turning you into a pauper, making you to strike, making you to suffer, the heat of God will not let them rest up. Shout hallelujah. Why vengeance? Quickly, I show you two or three, and then we move forward. Why do we emphasize vengeance? Now, get back to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 2. Why vengeance? Without vengeance, there cannot be comfort. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance in order to be able to step into comfort. So until vengeance is executed, there cannot be comfort for God's people. How many of you want to comfort? Shout hallelujah. Without vengeance, there cannot be comfort. So number one reason for vengeance is to restore to you comfort. What more? Verse 3. He said, and to give upon them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Beauty for ashes. Until judgment is executed, your beauty does not show. The wickedness of the enemies turn you ugly, oppressed. But when judgment is executed, beauty emerges. All in that passage, he went furthermore to say that you might be called the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Trees connotes establishment. So until judgment, vengeance is executed, you cannot be established. You have been troubled too much. You are losing stability. Until vengeance is executed, there cannot be stability. The enemies are choking you. They are not allowing your destiny to be stable. Trouble here and there. You need to send them into silence. Number four reason. It went furthermore down the line talking about they shall build old waste cities. Without vengeance, there cannot be breakthrough. There cannot be breakthrough. They shall build the old waste. They shall raise up the former desolation. They shall repair waste cities. The desolation of many generations. All of that will happen only when judgment, when vengeance has been executed. Because you cannot build in the midst of storm. You cannot build in the midst of raging storm. You cannot. And God said, I must execute judgment to silence your enemies in order for you to enjoy your breakthrough. Say with me, I have it now. One more time, I have it now. I've given you four reasons. Let me give you another one. Why vengeance? It is so as to restore your gold, your stolen goods. To restore the things stolen from you. Now we have the story of our covenant father, Abraham, the patriarch. After the Lord called him, he was going on his own with his wife. And one king took his wife from him. Genesis chapter 20. And in verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man. For the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. Anyone that is holding what belongs to you is but what? A dead man. Verse 7. Now therefore, after Abimelech cried, what do I do? He said, now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. He is a prophet. And he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. But if you decide not to restore her to her, know thou that thou shalt surely die, you and all that are thine. God said, you will die if you don't restore it. You will surely die. No negotiation. Anyone that is causing you discomfort, God said, if they don't restore to you what is yours, what will happen to them? They will surely die. Hear this. You are a child of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 verse 29. Galatians 3:29. Everyone in Christ is a child of Abraham. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs, inheritors, according to the promise. That means God, who executed judgment in the behalf of Abraham, is doing it because he's your father. If God said to Abimelech, you will die if you don't restore it, he's saying the same thing. If anyone that takes what belongs to you, causing you discomfort, and will not restore it, God said, you will surely die. Is it in your Bible? Until we get used to this side of the gospel, we will not get used to blessing. Because you have seen very clearly from scripture, until this is executed, you cannot enjoy your blessing. If you read down that passage in Genesis chapter 20, the Bible says, because God had already gone and shut the womb of all the women in the palace. All the women, their wombs were shut. Their generation was going to wipe off because none of them was going to have a child again. For touching a prophet's wife. Shout hallelujah. I say shout hallelujah. So today is not just the day of vengeance. There is also restoration that will follow after vengeance. After every vengeance, there is always a restoration. Shout hallelujah. You would like to hear this testimony. Last Sunday at Faith Tabernacle, there was a great celebration over a twin child that was stolen after 2 years and 2 months. March 2011, that child was stolen from the church premises. And God's servant declared, this child must be restored. Just a few weeks ago, the person who stole the child came. He told the wife, I know I will die, but I must go and confess. I must go and confess. I know I will die. Now listen to this series of calamities that became it. From the day he stole that child, he became partially blind. After being paid for the child, he bought a car. The day he bought the car, it was snatched from him by armed robbers. The same day, one calamity upon another. Eventually, he became totally blind. All kinds of affliction. And he said to the wife, I know I will die, but I must go and confess. And he confessed, well recorded on video. And joyfully, last week, the child was restored back. It does not matter for how long anything has been stolen from you by the enemy. Over your health, over your career, over your business, material things. I decree today that anyone holding them will have no rest until they restore them to you in the name of Jesus. By next Sunday, you are coming to share your testimony. If you believe it, raise your hand and shout the loudest, amen. Vengeance must be executed for the enemies to restore your stolen goods. You are a dead man if you don't restore back that which you have taken. Now, quickly, what are the weapons of vengeance in scriptures. The weapons of vengeance in scriptures. Number one and foremost is revelation. Revelation. What does that mean? You need spiritual understanding of what belongs to you. Spiritual understanding. Where you stand is determined by your understanding. Where you stand is determined by your understanding. Revelation is at the root of revolution. What you see determines your reaction. Look, this thing is mine. Then you begin to react. Revelation. The Lord said unto Moses, he said, see, I have made thee God to Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 6, I have made thee God unto Pharaoh. I have made thee. Chapter 7 verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh. I have made you a God. Now, Moses had to see himself in a new way to be able to confront Pharaoh. I want you to know that there is something about you that you need to understand this morning. A revelation of your status in Christ and revelation of your rights in Christ. Revelation of your status, who you are, and revelation of your rights, what you are entitled to, what you can do, who are you, and what are you capable of doing? Who are you, and what are you capable of doing? You need to know these two fundamental things. Who are you? You are uncausable. You are uncausable. That is, your head does not answer to a cause. Hallelujah! You are uncausable. For no weapon formed against you shall prosper. No, no weapon. Because you are uncausable. You are uncausable. Say with me very clearly, I am uncausable. So don't go about again saying, I'm under a curse. I'm under a curse. I'm under. You are relegating your position in redemption. The Bible says you are uncausable. How shall I curse them whom God has blessed? Numbers chapter 22, verses 6 to 8. How shall I curse them whom God hath blessed? Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me these people. Balaam hired Balak to curse God's people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and him whom thou cursed is cursed. And then Balak answered in verse 8, he said, how? And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring thee the word as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the prince of Moab abode in Balaam, in the land. And then going down the line, the man answered them. He said, how shall I curse them that God has not cursed? How shall I curse them whom God has not cursed? Shout hallelujah. Say with me again, I am uncursable. One more time, I am uncursable. No devil shall be able to curse you again in the name of Jesus. No devil shall be able to curse you again in the name of Jesus. No devil shall be able to curse you again in the name of Jesus. You are uncursable. You are uncursable. Numbers chapter 23, Not 22, please. Chapter 23, verse 8. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom God has not defied? He said, I would rather die the death of righteousness, of the righteous. Verse 10. And let my end be like this. I don't want to die anyhow. Anyone who curses you will go after the curses he rendered. Revelation of your status. What is your status? You are far above. You are far above. You are far above. It is the person at the top that can hurt the one under. But you are far above. You have been made to sit together with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2, from verses 1 to 6. You go read that when you get back home. He has raised us up. He's made us to be seated in Christ in the heavenly places. It is heaven that determines what happens on the earth. And you are made to be seated in the heavenly places, far above them. The same thing is repeated in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 23. He's raised us together, made us to sit together in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. Shout hallelujah. Say with me, I am far above. And of course, revelation of your right. Your right to judge. Psalm 149, verses 7 to 9. Let the high priest of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their mouth, to execute the vengeance upon the heathen and the punishment upon the people, to execute the judgment, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. And it went further to say in verse 9, he said, to execute upon them the judgment that is written. This honor have all his saints. How many of them have the honor? Are you one of them? How many of them have the honor? You have the honor. You have the right to judge all who stand on your way. To judge them. To judge them. And this morning, we are judging them. I said this morning, we are judging them. I said this morning, we are judging them. Ezekiel chapter 25 verse 14. Ezekiel 25 14. He said, and I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. Can you say, by the hand of my people Israel? God says, I will do it, but I will not come down personally. It is the hand of my people that will do it. I will lay my vengeance upon Edom by the hand of my people Israel. By the hand of my people Israel. Shout hallelujah. You have a right to judge, you have a right to curse. Mark 11, 14, Jesus cursed the fig tree. And John 21, 20, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Number two weapon of vengeance in scriptures is bold declaration. Bold declaration. Bold declaration. Bold declaration. Shout hallelujah. The vengeance of God is determined by your declarations. There is the story of Christ in prophecy in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. Oppression and affliction continues with closed mouth. Yet he opened up, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. When your mouth is closed, you'll be behaving like a lamb. It is those who open their mouth who behave lionic. He was led to the slaughter as sheep. He opened not his mouth. When Jesus was going to be slain, he opened his mouth. When he rose up, his name changed from being the Lamb of God to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Anybody can kick a lamb, kick a sheep, but you can't move close to a lion. From today, no one shall move close to you again. David was going before Goliath. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 43, Goliath said, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. He cursed David by his God. But David, in the following verse, did not close his mouth. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." He was boasting. And then in verse 45, see what David did. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with shield and all of that, but I come to you in the name of the God, the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou defied." And he went rattling and rattling and rattling and rattling. He didn't allow Goliath to have the final say. You have allowed the devil to have the final say. As much as you are announcing what the devil has told you. You see, "I don't know what I did. They said they will kill me." You see, "I don't know. This one is a very wicked one, and I helped him. You see, he wants to kill me now." "That woman said, I will never be married. That man said, no one will ever rise in our family." You are announcing what the enemy is saying. David was canceling what the enemy was saying. Stop announcing what the devil is saying. Start canceling what he has said. With your bold declaration, "Today I'm going to kill you. Today I will bring down your head. Today I'm going to destroy you. Today you are going to the grave. Anyone that says I will not rise must go down for me." Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. "No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. You shall condemn you with your mouth. For I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that all your adversaries will not be able to resist nor gainsay." Luke chapter 21, verse 15. "I will give you a mouth. I will give you a mouth. None of your adversaries shall be able to resist nor gainsay." They will not be able to stop you. Close mouth means stopped destiny. As soon as they hear, they will flee out of their hidden places. That's what David said. Psalm 18, verses 44 and 45. You have closed your mouth enough. It is now time for you to open your mouth. He said, "The strangers shall submit themselves to me." When I open my mouth, they will submit themselves to me. When I open my mouth, when I close my mouth, I will be under their submission. But when I open my mouth, they will submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed places. When I speak, they will be afraid. When they speak, you'll be afraid. But when you speak, they'll be afraid. Shout hallelujah. Bold declaration. Bold declaration. Shout hallelujah. Number three is your love for God. Love for God. Loving God provokes him to take vengeance over your enemies. Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16. "Because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will be jealous over him. I will deliver him. I will set him on high in the midst of opposition, because he hath known my name." Because he has set his love upon me. He said he will call upon me and I will hear. Down to verse 16. "I will deliver him and I will honor him." We know the story of Daniel. He was delivered from the lion's den, and all who threw him into the den replaced him there. Daniel chapter 6, verses 20 to 28. Number four, weapon of vengeance in scriptures, of course, is praise. Praise. We did a part of that before the message, shouting unto the Lord, because the Lord goes up with a shout. He goes up when his people shout. God stands up. He stands up to destroy opposition in response to the shouting of his children. When we shout, God stands. When we shout, God stands. When we keep quiet, he sits down. But when we shout, he stands up. When Jehoshaphat and his men began to praise, God set ambushment against their enemies. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 from verses 1 down to 24. He set ambushment against all their enemies. He judged them. He brought them down. They destroyed themselves by themselves. This week, you will hear news of devastation in the camp of your enemies. And number 5 is what I will be doing for you on your behalf as the Holy Ghost gives me utterance. Number 5 weapon of vengeance in scripture is prophetic verdict. Prophetic verdict. Prophetic verdict. Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go, or I will kill your sons. I will kill your firstborn if you don't let them go, because Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn. Let him go, or you will go. Somebody must go. Somebody must go. Anyone that won't let you go must go for you. Anyone that won't let you go must go for you. Anyone that will not let you go must go for you." He said, "Israel is my son, even my firstborn. If you don't let him go, I will kill all your firstborn." And God did. He did not only kill the sons, he killed the fathers. After he killed the sons, the fathers pursued them to the Red Sea, and he closed all of them up there. You know what that means? There is no ganging against you that will survive. One after the other, they'll be destroying themselves. One after the other, they'll be destroying themselves. In this battle today, you will not need to shoot any arrow. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, may I close this way. The church of Jesus is a very dangerous body. Very dangerous body. And I like to emphasize this so that you can see why you should always be in church. Church is a place where we go to report our enemies. In the first church, they knew where to go to. They went to their company. They went to their company. Acts chapter 4 verse 23. They went to their company and reported the matter. They reported the matter. After they reported the matter, they lifted up their voice and they prayed. They went to their company and did what? And reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. They went to report. Every time you are troubled, bring the report to the church. I'll show you. Somebody began to kill people in church in Acts chapter 12. They call his name Herod. He was very powerful. He took the first disciple and killed him. Took the second one and he took the third one. He took Peter. Very dangerous. But in verse 5, the church went into prayer. Now, we are going to do some strange prayers this morning. You will be praying by yourself and then we will now pray corporate prayer. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God. Now, the story reveals that Peter was released. But not just that. Herod that held him down died a mysterious death. He was eaten up by worms. He was eaten up by worms. If you read from verse 21 down to 23, he was eaten up by worms. And then the word of God increased. Upon a set day, Herod arrayed himself in royal apparel and sat on his throne and made an oration to them. And the people shouted, "This is the voice of God and not the voice of man." And then in verse 23, as the word was in his mouth, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not glory to God, and he was eaten up by worms, eaten by worms, and he gave up the ghost. And verse 24, and the word of God grew and multiplied. The church is not a place you move close to carelessly, and you don't touch any member of the church carelessly. when Paul was misbehaving against the church, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Hey, I am the Lord whom thou persecutest." He was stricken with blindness. Today, the church is against anyone against you. I'd like you to get set. This week is going to be the strangest week in your favor in the name of Jesus. Everyone who has stolen from you will be restoring back the blessings to you. Well, before we rise to pray, you cannot be in a service like this and not truly be integrated into the happening. If you are here this morning, you are not born again, you need to quickly do that so that you will not become a victim. Because vengeance is taken only in the favor of God's children. Until you become a child of God, you cannot enjoy the benefits of redemption. Wherever you are seated, somebody invited you to the church this morning, and you know you are not born again. You know truly from your heart, you have not given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You can quickly do that this morning. And I'd like to pray for you. Wherever you are seated, today is your day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. I want you to stand to your feet right now. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. I want to be saved. Many more people are standing up right now. Stand up quickly. Stand up quickly. Also, you are once born again, but you are backsliding, or you are backsliding. You can't tell why, what's happening to you. You don't like it, but you couldn't help it. Today, you want to be restored back to the faith. You want to be restored back to your first love with Jesus. The kind of zeal you used to have before. You want to get back on it for Jesus. Wherever you are still seated. I'd like you to stand up as well. Stand up as well. Maybe you are inside or you are outside. A lot of people are sitting outside this morning. I'd like you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. And then immediately, you start coming to the altar. Carry your Bible and whatever you came to church with. If you came with a little child, make sure you carry the child along with you as you are coming to the altar. Come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. All of you who are giving your life to Jesus, all of you who are getting restored back to the faith, come quickly right now. Come quickly right now. You must be born again. That's what Jesus said. Church, I thought you are very excited this morning, giving glory to Jesus, the Savior. Giving glory to Jesus, the Savior. Come quickly. Come quickly. This is your day. This is your time. Come quickly. This is your day. This is your time. Come quickly. Don't sit down there. Others have left you behind. Make your decision right now. Don't be an hypocrite seated there. Don't be an onlooker watching. Others have left you behind. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Come quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Shout hallelujah. Well, as they are coming, please be reminded, the books of the month is still on, Walking in the Miraculous, Commanding the Supernatural. You need these books. They will be a blessing to you in the precious name of Jesus. Releasing the Supernatural and, of course, Operating in the Supernatural. Please get the books and be blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Glory to God forevermore. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We have this week's edition of The Miracles Are Real, Anointing for Supernatural Turnaround, the teaching of last Sunday, and all of the testimonies that are contained therein. Please get your copies. It's already blessed and sanctified for the benefit of all in the name of Jesus Christ. Shall pray this prayer with me. Lift up your right hand. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I stand as his messenger in your behalf today. And I decree that every tongue that rises against you in judgment be condemned in the name of Jesus. I stand as Moses stood among 3 million people today to declare that they be let go. I decree today that your total freedom be established in the name of Jesus. Anyone that won't let you go must go for you this weekend. Anyone that won't let you rise must fall at your feet this week. Anyone that says over his or her dead body for you to be blessed will truly be over his or her dead body. Anyone who says, not when I'm alive, will any good thing happen to you, will truly go and the good things will come to be in your life. In the name of the God of Israel, who has given me commandment to bless, and when I bless, no man can reverse it, I pronounce you blessed today. Stretch your hands here, everybody. I, as a privileged servant of God on the platform of this commission, pronounce you blessed in the name of Jesus. I pronounce you blessed today in the name of Jesus. And anyone who stands against this blessing comes under a curse in the name of Jesus. From today, your liberty is guaranteed. Your breakthrough is guaranteed. Your comfort is guaranteed. Your beauty is restored to you. Your beauty is restored to you. Your glory is restored to you. Your career and business begin to blossom. Begin to grow as cedar in Lebanon. Be fat and flourishing. In the name of Jesus, so shall it be for you. All of you who believe, shout the loudest, amen. If there be anyone with any form of sickness or disease in your body that is ravaging you, threatening you to death, eating up your resources, as you go from here and go for a check this week, they will tell you that the stranger has left your body. Whatever name, cancer, HIV, all kinds of diseases tormenting your life, high blood pressure, hypertension, and all blood diseases, pains, aches, as you go this week, they will tell you that the stranger is no longer there. And for all of our first time worshippers, I decree today that for your being here for the first time this week, God will surprise you with first class blessings. You are blessed. In Jesus' name. All of you in front here, I believe you have been blessed. Have you been blessed? Sure? Well, this blessing will remain with you forever. If you live here, we encourage you to be here with us again next Sunday, most unique day. You are blessed in Jesus' name. Please allow our church officials to talk to you briefly as you depart from church this morning. You please take a turn either to your right or to your left this way. God bless you, church. Clap your hand for Jesus. Amen.